And for our scripture reading, I chose a passage from Numbers 10. And I will read that with you. Some interesting names in here. Moses spoke to Hobab, the son of Reuel. Reuel was Moses' father-in-law. He was from Midian. Moses said to Hobab, "We are starting out for the place where the Lord promised us. He said to us, 'I will give it to you.' So come with us. We'll treat you well. The Lord has promised to give good things to Israel." Hobab answered, "No, I can't go. I'm going back to my own land. I'm returning to my own people." But Moses said, "Please don't leave us. You know where we should camp in the desert. You can be our guide. So come with us. The Lord will give us good things and we'll share them with you." So they started out from the mountain of the Lord. They traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went in front of them during those 3 days. It went ahead of them to find a place for them to rest. They started out from the camp by day, and the cloud of the Lord was above them. When the Ark started out, Moses said, "Lord, rise up, let your enemies be scattered, let them run away from you." Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, as we reflect on your word, will you bless the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth? Will you give us all open ears to not only be hearers, but doers of your word? In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever wondered, why am I a Christian? Or why should I be a Christian? Why are you here this morning? Maybe you'll say, because mom and dad made me come. Or because I was brought up that way by my parents, who were brought up by my grandparents, and so on. Or maybe I heard the voice of God calling me, his spirit stirring a response in my heart. Or maybe you'll say I'm a Christian because it made so much sense to me. Or because there are so many, look around yourself, so many fine people in a church. Well, I want to be with them. Or maybe you have a whole host of other reasons. Why do you believe? Why would anybody want to be a Christian? The Bible, of course, is quite clear about it. It says, because life without God simply isn't worth it. It isn't really life. It's not an option. And maybe better yet, because God needs me. And this morning I want to explore that together with you as we look at that little passage I read, and we're keeping in mind the theme, calling and equipping. In our text, we meet that fellow with the odd name to us of Hobab. Can you imagine having a little brother called Hobab? Or a sister called Zipporah? You'd probably call them Hobie and Zippy. Those were the names in those days. And this man, Hobab, whose name is unfamiliar to us, crosses the path of God's people in the most natural way imaginable. He is Moses' brother-in-law. His sister, Zipporah, is married to Moses. And Moses, of course, is the one who left his wife Zipporah and his children in Midian as he went to Pharaoh to say to Pharaoh, "God has sent me to tell you, let my people go." And after God did exactly do that, lead his children out of bondage, Moses was able to rejoin his family in the desert because his brother-in-law another interesting name, Jethro, and her brother Hobab, bring Zipporah and the children to Moses in the desert. And right after that, pretty soon after that, Jethro goes back to Midian. We've read in the Bible, he praises God for everything he has seen and experienced in Israel, among God's people. But the brother, Hobab, he stays behind a little bit longer yet to observe and to share in the life of these nomadic people as they go through the desert, these ex-slaves. Till finally, he too is ready to return to Midian. And then you get to this interesting part of our story, this interesting appeal. You could almost compare it to an appeal you could make to people today. Come and join us. Become a Christian. Open your hearts to God's calling and join his people. That's the appeal, basically, that Moses makes to Hobab. Don't go back home to Midian, but join us, God's people, on the march. Join our ranks, come with us, become like us. Why do you think that Moses asked that? Just to be nice to his brother-in-law? Be thoughtful? To please Zipporah, his wife, maybe? Or to let Hobab share in the material benefits? We will do good to you, Moses says, for the Lord has spoken good to Israel. Well, actually, this man Hobab is not too impressed with that line of reasoning. Not too impressed even with the imposing picture of a nation on the march, led by God, as described so well in Numbers 10. The power of the church does not knock him out. Maybe, just maybe, he has seen a little bit too much of that church already. Remember, if you're at all familiar with Exodus, the constant complaining, whining, moaning. The Old Testament has that wonderful word, the murmuring of the people, who always seek their own comfort instead of following God, who are never happy with anything, it seems. And when an appeal is made, come and join us, be one of us, well, join our group, be part of our church because we are such fine, fine people. Well, the Hobabs of this world don't need a whole lot of intelligence to see the weakness of that people, the imperfections of that people, fighting, superstition, hypocrisy, inability quite often to live out the message of peace and compassion. People out there are quick to point out, you're either lacking in warmth or you're too charismatic. You're too intellectual or too cold, too liberal, or too conservative. The weakness of the people were and are often glaring. For the power of God's kingdom does not lie in the strength of the people. The strength of God's kingdom lies in the cross of Jesus Christ, the great King. And if you center your attention on people, the reason for leaving can be just as poor as the reasons for staying and joining a church. And let's not kid ourselves. People in Moses' days were not that different from us, from people today. And the church's strength does not lie in its people, but in its God. The God who calls. The God who calls you and me and people like Hobab. And then the question becomes, why? Why does God call people like us? The answer is surprising. Because that mighty God is pleased to need people. Strange, isn't it? Beautifully strange, you might say. Hobab is finally moved to join, to become, if you will, part of God's people, because Moses appeals to the fact, we need you. God needs you. His familiarity with the desert, his knowledge of the wilderness is needed by a former slave people fresh out of Egypt who didn't know a sand dune from a brick. Hobab, God needs you because you know the desert so well. Wasn't God's leading enough then? Doesn't God know the desert that he himself created? You'd think. Can't he lead his people to safety? Wouldn't you say? In spite of that, it is still true. God needs people. He wants to need them. He is pleased to require their service. And that's why he calls them. God who addresses Hobab through Moses, that great God who needs nothing and nobody, he wants to need people. Like Jesus who asks a Samaritan woman at the well for a drink of water. He himself is the living water, but he wants her to help him. And who says with all his divine power, your service is needed right now. God who wants to use all our abilities, all our gifts, which we received first from him, the great equipper. But that's all right. He wants to use all our gifts, including knowledge of the desert, of the world, of drawing a pitcher full of water. The call goes out. God is pleased to need you. He needs people for his service. You know, we've often made that specialized service. Like God's calling, my word, that is something like preaching or praying, Bible reading, missionary activity, evangelism outreach and whatnot. Special equipping. All no doubt good and wonderful things. But God says, listen, hear me. I need you because you know the desert. You know about trails and mountains, edible plants and poisonous snakes. And I need you because you know the insurance business. Because you're a skilled carpenter. I need you because you can cut and paste and be patient with kids in Sunday school. I need you because you can play a set of drums or have a talent for building houses or have a PhD in astrophysics. I need you because you can see the needs of others and you have a wonderful way about you that comforts them. You have a gift of prayer. And you have time to use your gifts for your community, for your grandchildren, for my world. God calls people for service. And he needs us with all the specific and unique talents with which he has equipped us precisely for that purpose. And he is pleased to use hearts and hands, feet, minds, eyes, and tongues. And he calls the simplest and the most learned. And he says the same thing to them all. I need you to be part of my people. And I have equipped you. And please don't spiritualize it. When he says, how about it? I need your talent in my kingdom. I'll give you one wonderful biblical example. Saul, who became Paul, who had been a Pharisee and a killer. And God said, you read it in the book of Acts, you are my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Can you imagine? A killer and a Pharisee. God says, I need you. You know why? Because you have been trained in the philosophy, the religion of your time. And you have the ability to dialogue like he did in Athens with the people of the Areopagus. You can reach out to the modern mind of your time, the Hellenists. A man who knew his way in the desert of the New Testament world. But no, God doesn't call people like Paul just to save their souls, although he does that as well, I suppose. He doesn't call Hobabs just to make them feel good for the moment or to give them a mystical experience. No, he calls people that he's already equipped and tells them, I want you to be my servants. He calls people to dedicate their talents, their gifts, their lives to him. And in a moment, Hobab will leave with the Israelites. He will act as, I guess we would call it, one of their scouts, walking at the head of the procession, contributing his wealth of experience about the desert, using his life and his gifts for God. And it will give his life a whole new direction, meaning and purpose. Have you ever considered what it must sound like to people who have just heard the gospel? For instance, a teacher, student, a bricklayer. When you say to them, come and join us and do like us, can't just mean come to church on Sundays. If that's all it means, truly, it doesn't mean much. Why should he or she, why should anybody become a Christian? Fear of death? To warm a pew once a week? When people are invited to come and join the people of God, they are invited to a life of service for which God has equipped them. Why are you a Christian? Because you heard God's calling of love in Jesus Christ, a call to join his body in thankful service. That can mean as diverse a thing as get your kids to school on time, Sunday school lessons prepared, driving and helping people who are disabled, praying like opas and omas for your children and grandchildren, using your musical skills, your technical skills to enhance worship. The list is endless because God says, I need gardeners in my world, caretakers who bring all their skills to the table when they follow the Lord, serving with, you've heard it so many times, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then life becomes worth living, filled with new meaning. Moses said to Hobab, come join us and serve God, for he has need of you, and we will share the good that God has promised to us, the good of Canaan, the good of a land filled with milk and honey, safe and secure existence in God's country, but most of all, even better than that, the good of the promise, sharing the promise of the Messiah, the one who is to come, Jesus Christ, the promise of a life redeemed and made whole, sins forgiven. For Jesus, yes, he too is the key to this passage this morning. Why does Almighty God need people? Because it is that same God of whom John says, he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, who through his Son calls a new nation, a new humanity into being, a new creation on the road, on the way. And he who loved us called us. And he who loved and called us also equipped us, so that hearts filled with his Holy Spirit might with inexpressible joy serve him in big ways, small ways, here and there and everywhere, in every which way. A new people that may sing, let all that is within me praise his holy name. Let every tongue and talent, every gift be set apart unto his praise. For the Lord our God is great and greatly to be praised in Jesus Christ and to all ages. So let us heed the call and know that he has already equipped you, and that he says, how about it? Use your life, use your talents, your abilities in my service as you travel to the fullness of my kingdom. Amen. Lord God, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you call us, and that you call us to a life of service and joy, for which you yourself have first equipped us. Lord, help us to walk in your way all the days of our life. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we come before you to give you honor and praise and thanks. You are the creator and maker of heaven and earth. And we thank you for the beauty of the earth, for the changing of the seasons, for the beauty of nature, the hills, the valleys, the stars at night, the beautiful sunsets you make that we can stand in awe of and be amazed at what you have done. And the more we seem to study and try to understand your beautiful nature, the more we are awestruck by how you made all things work together. Help us never to take these beautiful gifts that you have made for granted. Above all, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, which is your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and saved us and now intercedes before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the relationship that we have with you. And we thank you, Lord, for this place of worship and for those gathered here today. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives and for your loving kindness toward us. We are grateful for your many gifts that you have blessed us with. We are grateful for peace in this land, for all kinds of freedoms, of choices that we can make here in Canada, knowing that many places in the world do not have such freedoms. We thank you, Lord, for this great country that you have placed us in. And we know there are issues within our own country dealing with things like the Alberta pipeline debate or even the SNC-Lavalin scandal in our country. But despite that, compared to the rest of the world, we truly live in a privileged nation with great abundance. With that in mind, we want to pray for our country's leaders, both federally and provincially, and the often difficult task they have to make sound decisions, and we pray that you give them wisdom. Merciful God and Father, we remember the poor and distressed around the world, those who had to flee their homes due to wars and famines, persecutions, or corrupt governments, those millions of displaced people who are living in tents in refugee camps, who have lost their homes in dealing with injustice, whose lives are in despair and seemingly hopeless. We think especially of the unrest at this time in Haiti and Venezuela, where even relief from the world doesn't seem to come through. We pray that the poverty there may be addressed, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with those two countries and many more. We think of the children and the elderly and those physically or mentally handicapped in those places whose lives have been turned upside down to these circumstances. These are complex issues and we don't always know exactly how to help, except to bring them to you in prayer. We pray for organizations such as World Renew and Resonate Global Missions and Red Cross and other aid agencies that they may have a big impact in helping the poor and disadvantaged, that their efforts may be fruitful. We'd in turn also like to pray for Kathy Vandekloot, who made it her life's work to work in Nigeria, where there's so much unrest. Keep her safe and in your care. Dear Father, we also pray for our own fellowship church. We pray for the leaders, for the elders and deacons. We pray for the programs and the volunteers who run them. Be with them all and give them what they stand in need of, so they do their work faithfully and gladly. We thank you, Lord, too, for Mark and receiving his credentials to being a pastor and a preacher. Also, those with special needs in our congregation, those who are recovering from surgeries. We think especially of Ishtar Brun, who is recovering from hip surgery with some complications. We pray that you be with him and his family. We grant them all a speedy recovery. Be also with those who are awaiting test results and the anxiety that can cause with the possible treatments that may follow. Be near to them and comfort them, and may they feel your comforting arm around them. We also are thinking of people who are dealing with conflict in their relationship with family members, those who are dealing with children or grandchildren who have turned their back on you, O Lord. We hold them up to you. We also think of those who are lonely, those who have lost loved ones and still feel the emptiness in their lives. We think of that Syrian family in Halifax who lost 7 children this past week in a house fire. How unbearable that loss must be for them. We also think, too, of Mark Broaddus and his family dealing with the loss of, this rather sudden loss of a sister-in-law. Bring comfort to him and his family as well, and to all those who call upon your name. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us in different ways. We have different needs. Encourage us with your Holy Spirit. Life can be very good, but also very difficult. May we all feel your loving embrace and peace in our hearts, knowing that you are the Lord over all things, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Keep us away from willful sins and deliberate disobedience. Forgive us, we pray. And thank you for your continued faithfulness when we do go astray. We also pray today for our collection, for the denomination, and for Resolute Global Missions, for the work that Kathy Vanderclute does in Nigeria, that the gifts there may be used wisely and be blessed by you. Lead us and guide us as a church in decisions for the future. Dear Lord Jesus and your Holy Spirit, blessing on us here present today, keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Help us to magnify your name, O Lord, so that you may be praised and glorified in all the earth. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.